Hi friends, what's cooking? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Tes Zayin of Masechta Brachos. We're really moving, huh? We're already on Daf Tes Zayin. This is pretty exciting stuff. So yesterday we ended a little bit high up on Tes Vav Amud Beis, so we got a little bit to do over there. Today's Daf, there's some pretty cool stuff. Maybe like two little rough patches, but otherwise some cool stuff. So let's get started. Fine. So we are starting really about maybe 15 or so lines from the bottom of Tes Vav Amud Beis by the two dots where it says Tani Rabbi Oshaya. Okay. So here we go. Tani Rabbi Oshaya Kamei de Rava. So Oshaya taught in front of Rava. Uchsav Tom. Hakol Bichsav Afilu Tzavaos. The pasuk says in Kriyat Shema, the first parak and also the second parak, but it says Uchsav Tom. You will write them. And he's learning Uchsav Tam. You will write, Tam means complete, whole. Meaning that you have to write the entire chapter, even the part, even the commandments, Afilu Tzavos, even the commandments, even the things that say like, you should write them. You should write, so in your mezuzahs, when it says you should write them in your mezuzahs, even include that, even though it's just a commandment to write, but even include that. Don't say like, no, that's just telling you to write it, but I shouldn't actually write that. No, you should even write that. And when it says ukshartam, and you're going to tie them on tefillin, right? Don't say, you know, well, that's just telling me to do it. I shouldn't actually write it, right? It's telling me to write it. So no, write everything ukshartam. It has to be a complete writing, including everything. Amalei da'amalach mani. So now Rava says to Rabbi Oshaya, who told you this? So he said, well, Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, right? Or it's really based on Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. To Amar Gabi Sota, that he says in the context of a Sota. Now, what is a Sota? Okay, a Sota comes up in Parshas Naso, in Sefer Bamidbar. It talks about a woman who is married, and her husband does not like that she is spending too much time with another man. So he warns her, and he says, I don't want you to be secluded with this other man. But she secludes herself with him anyways. So then basically they have to go to the Beis HaMikdash. They create this whole drink that she drinks, and if she had a relationship with this other man, so then the drink will basically kill her. And if she didn't have a relationship with this other man, so then it's machlokas. What happens? It actually comes up here in the Gemara, I think in the fifth parak, but either she, you know, if she was unable to have children, then she will be able to have children, which is kind of like what happened with Chana. When she prayed, Eli thought that she was a shikor, and then, anyways, fine. Although I guess that doesn't make her a sota. Anyways, whatever. But that's the deal with sota. Now, as part of creating this drink, this elixir, they would write God's name, and they would write the curse and everything, and they would then dissolve it in water. So the question is, what do you actually have to write on this parchment that they would then dissolve in water? So it says over there, right? So he says by sota, alos kosev tzavaus eno kosev, okay? So by sota, right, when we're writing, right, so it says you can write down that parsha, but it says, v'chasav esha alot ha'ele, right? You're going to write down these curses. Do you write down that? Do you write down the commandment to write down those curses? Or do you just write down the curses? So over there, it's you just write down the curses. You don't do all that meta stuff about, you know, and you'll take her to the Beit HaMikdash, and you'll, you know, write this, and you'll do that. No, we don't include that. Just the curse itself is what we include. V'chasam over there, hu dechsev v'chasav esa alos ha'ele. Okay? It only says v'chasav. It doesn't say v'chasav v'chasav tam. And therefore, that's why it's only the curses. But over here, aval hacha, tichsev uchsav tam, where it says that we have a complete writing, afilu tzavaos nami. We are even going to write the tzavaos. But then Rava responds to Rabbi Oshaya, and he says, atu taime, Rabbi Yehuda mishum tichsev v'chosav. One second. Do you really think that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says that by sota, we only write the curses, we don't write, you know, all the meta stuff, because it only says v'chasav versus over here where it says uchsav tam. Taimed Rabbi Yehuda mishim dechsev. So over here it says alos, but actually I have a note here that changes it to ele, which actually is very nice, right? Over there it's because it's, and that's also Rashi's girsa, right? Mishim dechsev ele, right? It says v'chasav esa alos ha ele. Ele in tzavaos lo. The word ele means these, to the exclusion of other things. What are the other things that we're excluding? We are excluding The commandment part, right? The meta stuff. We're only including the actual curses, right? So, it has nothing to do with v'chasav versus uchasav tam. But to that, Rabbi Yoshe answers that nonetheless, we still do need to read to write uchasav tam here by Kriyashma, because Sakadat Chamina, I may have thought neilef k'siva k'siva mehasam. We may have thought to make a gzeira shava. If you remember gzeira shava from Daf Tes Amud Aleph. By Balayla Zeh, by Laila Zeh, by Tzias Mitzrayim, and by Karban Pesach, and by Makas Bechoros. But anyway, so we're making a Gzera Shava. It says over here, Ksiva, it says Uchsav Tam, by Shema, and it also says Ksiva, it says V'chasav, in the context of Sota, right? So I may have had the Havmina to say that Mahasam Alos in Savaos Lo, that just like over there, it's just the curses that you write, but not all the other commandments. So Avhachanami Savaos Lo, right? So I would think also here that by Kriyat Shema, when I'm writing, let's say, in a mezuzah, I wouldn't write, you know, I wouldn't write in the actual mezuzah and write them on your mezuzahs. So I would exclude that. So Kazav Rachmana Uchsav Tam Afilu Tzavos. That is why the Torah needed to write Uchsav Tam, so that I would not think to learn it out from Sota. It says, no, Uchsav Tam, we have to have a complete writing, even the commandments. Tani Rav Ovadia Kamei De Rava. Rav Ovadia taught in front of Rava. Vilimad Tam. Okay, v'limad tem, right? You have to teach your children, you know, to speak words of Torah. Shehi limudcha tam, that your teaching should be complete. What does that mean? Sheitein revach ben advekim, that you should make sure that you put enough space between the words that stick together, to make sure that you pronounce each word individually. And we're going to explain what this means. Ani Rava Basrei, so Rava then responded to Rav Ovadia, who taught that in front of him. Kigon, for example, al levavecha, right? Meaning these are words that you have to be careful not to pronounce them as one word, right? You could theoretically say al levavecha as one word. Therefore, you have to make sure you say al levavecha, al levavchem, b'chol levavcha, b'chol levavchem, right? Esev b'sadecha, v'avadetem me'ira, akanaf b'sil, eschem me'eretz. These are all examples of words that can just get, you know, merged into one. So we want to make sure that these words do not get merged into one. Fine. Amar Bichama Brab Chanina says Rabbi Chama Brab Chanina called Kori Kriyashma. Anybody who reads Kriyashma Mudakdik Bosi Oseh, and he's very particular on the letters to make sure that he pronounces them correctly. Mitzanin Lo Gehenim, we cool down hell for him. All right. That sounds very nice. Why don't we just send him to heaven? All right. Shneimar, it says Bifaris Shaddai Melachim Bat Hashleg Betzamon. Okay. So I couldn't really understand what this actual pasuk like means. It means that when God spreads out like all the kings who were like doing idol worship from Israel, so batashleg b'tzamon, so then like it will become white in the dark places where like the other Jews are. I don't know. But anyways, he says atakre b'fareish ela b'fareish. Don't say b'fareish to spread out, rather b'fareish to explain, to like, you know, say the word specifically. Atakri b'tzalmon ela b'tzalmavis. Don't say tzalmon, which means dark, but rather say tzalmavis, which means like death. That's how he says that, you know, by saying the words of Kriyashma properly, you will cool down hell. Okay, very interesting. Okay. Fine. V'amar b'chama b'chanina, says b'chama b'chanina, lama nismichu oholim l'nchalim. Why were tents compared to streams, as in the following pasuk, from the blessings of Bil'am to the Bnei Yisrael, when of course he was really supposed to be cursing the Bnei Yisrael. Dechsev, as it says, Kinchalim Nitayu, right, that the, right, before the pasuk, before the pasuk before that is Matovu Alech Yaakov Mishkanosech Yisrael, how great are your tents, Jacob, the dwellings of Israel. Dechsev, it says, Kinchalim Nitayu, they are, these tents are like, they've been planted like long streams, Kiganos Alei Nahar, like, gardens upon the river, Ka'olim, Nata, V'gomer, and like tents pitched by God. So we see Nechalim and Ohalim in the same pasuk. So Lo Malacha, it's to say to you, Manechalim Ma'alin Esa'adam Yitum Adetaira, just like streams, they transform a person from being impure to being pure if they dip in that stream, if they go to the mikveh in that stream. Af Ohalim Ma'alin Esa'adam Mikav Chova L'Chav Zechus. Also the tents of Torah, Torah study, it raises up a person from being from the scales of guilt to the scales of innocence. Very cool. Hakor lemafreya lo yotza v'chulei. And then we also said after that, not only if you read out of order, you're not yotze, but also if you made a mistake, you go back to where you made that mistake. So like if you're reading Kriyashma, you realize that you made a mistake on some word or something, you go back to that word. Okay, so now, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, avukav katrin le ganana, Rabbi Elazar. Oh, so Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi were tying together a chuppah for Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar was getting married, and his buddies, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, were preparing his canopy for him. Okay, Amalehu. So it's funny. Rabbi Elazar says to them, like, all right, well, I guess since you guys are working, I'll just adachi v'achi ezu v'esh ma'milsad v'midrashi v'aisi v'emalehu. He says, look, well, you guys seem busy. Maybe I'll just like run over to the base medrash. I'll go learn something, and then I'll come back and tell you what I learned. Right? It feels like almost like they were saying like, oh, you know what? Thanks, guys. Maybe I'll just go grab some pizza and I'll bring some back for us. Right? So instead of pizza, he's like, let me go learn something and I'll bring it back for us. So also Ashkei the Tana the Katani came to Rabbi Yochanan. So he went to the base medrash, and which is pretty awesome. Guess who was there? Rabbi Yochanan was there. Pretty cool. You could just go to the base medrash and like, you know, run over quickly to go learn something from Rabbi Yochanan. Anyways, Rabbi Yochanan was there, and the teacher who was in Rabbi Yochanan's base medrash was teaching the following: If he was reading Kriyat Shema and he made a mistake and he's not sure where that mistake was, Mamish has no clue where it was. So look, I have an aleph here, the Gaos Habach. The Gaos Habach adds some pretty important words here. So it says Yachzor LeRosh. He's got to go all the way back to the beginning of Shema. If your mamash doesn't know where he made a mistake, well, he's got to start over. Okay, be'emtza a perek. If he knows that he made a mistake in the middle of, you know, a specific perek, so then yachzor, so again, with the Gaos Habach, it says l'tchilas a perek. Okay, so he goes back to the beginning of that perek. So if he knows that he made a mistake, kilo, at the beginning of ve'ahavta, the first paragraph, so he goes back to the beginning of the first paragraph. If he knows he made a mistake in the middle of the second paragraph, so he goes back to the beginning of the second paragraph. Ben perek l'ferek, Yachzor leperek rishon, right? If he knows that he just finished a perek, but he can't remember, wait, did I just finish the first perek or did I just finish the second perek? So you have to assume that you just finished the first one, and then you're going to continue with Vayayim Shema, as opposed to Vayomer. Ben ksiva lechsiva, yachzor lechsiva rishona. If you just said the word uchsavtam, and you're like, wait, did I just say uchsavtam amazuzos, or did I just say uchsavtam kilu from the first paragraph, or uchsavtam from the second paragraph, because it appears in both. So you have to assume that you just read it from the first paragraph, and you would continue from there. So Rabbi Yochanan says that this, of course, is as long as you didn't start saying Leman Yirbu Yumeichem V'mei V'neichem, which is the pasuk right after Uchsavtam Amazuzos Pesach V'Sherecha in the second paragraph of Vayim Shema. Have a pasuk Leman Yirbu Yumeichem, but if you already started saying Leman Yirbu Yumeichem V'mei V'neichem, and then you asked yourself, like, wait, but did I just finish the first paragraph or the second paragraph? Maybe I'm saying Leman Yirbu Yumeichem, but I didn't actually read the second paragraph. So he says, no, sarchei nakad, you can assume that he just went with his like flow. Meaning if you're already in the man yirbu yimeichem v'meimeneichem, so then you can assume that like everything up until then you said correctly and you just went straight with the flow. Sure, you weren't paying attention. I guess that's not ideal, but you can assume that you didn't skip anything. Fine, sarchei nakad v'asi. Assume that's how to read it. Unless it's v'asi asa v'amar lehu. I don't know. So I think maybe it's Asav Amar Lehu. I'm not sure. But either way, Rabbi Elazar then said thank you very much to Rabbi Yochanan. He went back home to his buddies, Rabbi Amin and Rabbi Asi, who were working on his canopy. And he told them what he learned by Rabbi Yochanan about this stuff about going back. Amrulei, they said to him, Ilo lo banu el lishma davarzeh dayenu. If we would have only come, forget about the wedding canopy, if we only would have heard these amazing halachas that you brought us back from Rabbi Yochanan, it would have been enough for us to come just for that. Ha'umanin korin b'rosha, new Mishnah. Ha'umanin korin b'rosha ilan u'brosha nidbach. The workers are permitted to read Kriyat Shema when they're up in the tree. Maybe they're building up as a tree house. They're up in the tree. They're allowed to read Kriyat Shema up in the tree. U'brosha nidbach. Or if they're working on some kind of wall or something, they can read it from on the wall. So let's read another few words. Mashein and Mashein Lasos came betfila, which they are not permitted to do when they are praying. For Shmona Esrei, they must come down from the wall or come down from the tree. And Rashi says something really interesting, right? The Tzlosa, right? I'm reading in the Rashi Dibra Maskil, Mashein and Mashein Lasos came betfila. So he says the Tzlosa Rachmehi Uvai Kavana, because Shmona Esrei is mercy. You're praying for mercy, and therefore you have to have Kavana. Super interesting. You know, because obviously then the implication being that for Kriyat Shema you don't have to have Kavana. Which is super interesting. Because obviously, of course, we were talking recently about having Kavana by Kriyat Shema, right? Whether it's just for Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, maybe it's the first paragraph, maybe it's the whole thing, maybe it's just until, right, Advar Ma'ele, Ashenochim Tzavcha Hayom Al Vavecha, right? But over here we seem to be saying that, you know, for Shmoneh Esrei you have to get down because you have to have Kavana. You don't necessarily have to have Kavana for the first paragraph. You don't necessarily have to have Kavana for Shema, and therefore you can even read it, you know, when you're up in the tree and it's scary up there. You know, you're not going to be able to focus completely. You're not necessarily, we can't assume that you're going to be able to have Kavana because, you know, you're focused on not falling. So we say that you can read Kriyat Shema at the top of the tree, but just not Tefillah. Chasen Patam Kriyat Shema Laila Rishona. So as we learned on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, that a chasen is potter from Kriyat Shema on the first night of his wedding, as we said, because he tirda, right? Because of tirda the mitzvah, that he's so sort of overwhelmed with, you know, he can't focus on saying Kriyat Shema because he's focused on being with his wife. So vad motzoi Shabbos um lo asa maisa, very interesting. And this continues all the way until motzoi Shabbos if he hasn't actually slept with her yet. Okay, so that really reinforces the way that we learned the Gemara on Yud Aleph, which is that, you know, it's not about actually doing the mitzvah. It's about this tirda. It's about this, you know, he being lost in his thoughts, being unable to focus on account of the mitzvah that he's involved with, and that extends all the way until Motzei Shabbos if he hasn't yet slept with her. So it was a story about Rabbi Gamliel that he got married, and as we're going to see in the very next Mishnah on Amud Beis, that you know, the Gemara, the Mishnah talks about when his wife died. So I wonder if, like, after his wife died, he then got remarried, and this is what it's talking about here. But anyways, umayis Rabbi Gamliel shenosa isha. So there's a story with Rabbi Gamliel that he got married. Vikara laila rishona, and he taka read Kriyat Shema on the first night that he got married. So amilo tamida. But one second, didn't you teach us that a chasen is part of Kriyat Shema? Why did you read Kriyat Shema? People, I am not going to listen to you to be mevatel malchus shamayim for even one second. You know, I want to be mekabel o malchus shamayim, and don't stop me. I know that a chasen is part of Kriyat Shema, but I don't care. I'm going to be mekabel malchus shamayim. Very, very interesting. Okay, fine. Very good. Weiter. Tana Rabbanan. The rabbis taught, Ha'umanin korin b'rosha ilan u'rosha nidbach. Okay, so workers can read Kriyat Shema at the top of a tree or at the top of a wall while they're working. Okay. U'mispalin b'rosha zayis u'rosha tena. They're even allowed to daven shmona esrei at the top of an olive tree or the top of a fig tree because they have many branches and they can hold themselves steady and it's not scary. And therefore, they can even daven over there. Ushakol elanos yardim lamato mispalun. But any other kind of tree doesn't have thick and sturdy enough branches, and therefore, you know, they're going to be there's a certain element of fear of standing up in that tree, and therefore, you can go down. Therefore, to daven, they would have to go down from the tree to daven. Uvalabayis venkach uvenkach yored lamato mispalun lefishen daitum yushevis olav. Whereas a balabayis, somebody who's not a worker, right? And the assumption is that workers are being paid, you know, hourly, and, you know, to spend time going down from the tree and then go back up is a waste of the employer's time. So they say, so if it's just, you know, if it's a sturdy tree, they could daven in the tree itself. The balabayis, however, who's not, you know, being paid hourly, so you know, he should go down from the tree because, after all, there is fear involved. He won't be able to focus properly, and therefore he should go down from the tree. Okay, fine. Right, and Rashi says the fisha in daitum yushevis olav mi bi asuso, right, because he's scared. And if we're able to be mekil by the po'alim, right, to say that you know, if this tree is sturdy enough, then fine, you could stay. Right, mipnei bitul malacha. That's because, you know, we want to, you know, take care of the employer's money, you know, time, you know, the employee's time, the employer's money, and how the employee is using the time. But lo ikelu etzel balabai. So we're not makeable by the balabai. So therefore, you know, even by the workers, it's not ideal to pray in a fig tree or an olive tree, but you know, it's sturdy enough that they could pray there. But Abalabias, you know, he's on his own time. He should really come down and pray. Fine. Now, this next piece, okay, we're gonna have to slow down for a second right here, because this next piece is kind of weird. It's kind of weird, you know, because up until now, we explained why you have to go down to pray. You have to go down from the tree to pray so that you can have kavana, because up in the tree, you're scared. But Kriyat Shema, you don't necessarily have to have kavana, because you don't necessarily have to have kavana. And therefore, since you're scared in the tree, it's really not a big deal, because you don't necessarily have to have kavana for Kriyat Shema. But over here, we're going to give a different explanation. We're assuming a different explanation for what for why you won't be able to have kavana when you're working, and that is because you're busy working and you're not going to be able to have kavana. Okay, so it's kind of weird, you know, that up until now we've been, and Rashi's been explaining that they're not going to be able to have kavana because they're going to be scared. Yet the assumption for the next few lines is that they're not going to be able to have kavana because they're busy working. Okay, so which one is it? Is it because they're scared that they're up in the tree or on the wall or whatever working, or is it because they're busy working? It's not clear. But I think maybe you can explain from the Gemara that even the Gemara is not so clear about it. So let's take a look. Let's see what's going on here. Second wide line of the Gemara. Rami le Rav Mari. Bradva Shmuel, so Rav Mari, the daughter, the son of the daughter of Shmuel. There's actually an interesting story about why they call him the son of the daughter of Shmuel. It's because Shmuel had a daughter. It comes up in a few places, but Shmuel had a daughter who was taken captive. And while she was taken captive, she had a relationship. I don't know if she was raped or whatever it was. Somehow she had a relationship there with a non-Jewish man. The result of that relationship was this child, Mari. Okay, now in the end, this man ended up converting to Judaism, but the fact of the matter is that when he was when the child Mari was conceived, the father had not yet converted, and therefore he goes by his mother's name. Anyways, so Mari Bradva Shmuel asked the following question, the Rava, to Rava. Now Tanan, Ha'umanin Korin Brosha Ilan Uvrosha Nidbach. The workers can read Kriyat Shema at the top of a tree or at the top of a wall that they're working on. Alma lo bai kavana. So from here we see that right, that they do not need kavana. Okay, so zeu. So and Rashi explains this one as being that since they're going to be working, right? I'll just read Rashi. Afilu bezman shein asukin alma lo bai kavana. Even when they are busy. Therefore, it must be that they don't need kavana, even though Rashi in the Mishnah explained that they're not going to have kavana because they're scared. So now, veramini, right? Then Mari, brother of Shmuel, asked the following question. However, it says, "Akor yeshma tzarich shechavanas libo," right? Somebody reads Kriyat Shema has to have kavana. Shnei Mars, it says Shema Yisrael, so it says by Shema, obviously Shema Yisrael. Ulhalam no Omer, and it says in a different pasuk, "Haskes Ushma Yisrael." You have to pay attention, Ushma Yisrael. Smalahalim Bahaskes, just like when it says Haskes Ushma Yisrael, you have to pay attention. So Afkan Bahaskes. So here also by Shema, you have to have Haskes, you have to pay attention. You have to have Kavana. So Ishtik. And Rava was quiet. Now I don't have a good answer for why Rashi assumes here that it's talking about that they'll won't have Kavana because they're in the middle of work. Whereas over there, he was saying that they don't have kavana because they're scared. But what I thought was maybe, you know, Rava was quiet and he didn't answer him. Maybe he was also confused, right? And then Amrle midi shmielach b'ha, and then Mari, brother of Shmuel, pushes him. He says, "Wait, well, didn't you hear anything about this?" So then Rava says, "Okay, look, Amrle achim Rav Sheshes. Here's what Rav Sheshes says. He says, "Look, I don't have a good answer for you, but here's what Rav Sheshes says: v'husha b'teinim mimlachtim v'korin," right? And that, so they have to stop what they're doing and then read Kriyat Shema, right? But it could be that, I just don't have a good answer, but it could be that Rava was also like phased, like, wait a second, this is weird. I thought that the reason why they would not be able to have kavanah is because they're scared, and yet over here you're asking me it's because they're, asukim b'malacha. So he says, look, so Rav Sheshes says, that they should stop working. But I don't know, I don't really have a good answer. But anyways, so zeu. So they have to stop working in order to read Kriyat Shema, and then they will actually have Kavana. Yeah, I mean, this whole thing is kind of confusing, right? Because the Mishnah is saying that they don't have to have kavana, and they can read it. So I don't know. So maybe it says, maybe in the Mishnah, I don't know. So maybe the Mishnah is just saying that they're going to be on top of the tree and they're not going to have any kavana, and because they're scared. And zo, you don't. And the Mishnah implies you don't have to have kavana for Kriyat Shema. But over here, maybe it implies that, you know, the fact that you're stopping what you're doing and having kavana, so you actually do have to have kavana. And I guess it would be possible to have kavana because you know, the only reason that they don't have kavana is because they're working. But if they stop working, then they can have kavana. But I'm like, not super clear why we seem to have these like parallel paths of how to understand the workers at the top of the tree. If somebody has any enlightenment over here or any insight, please share with us in WhatsApp or whatever. That seems to be the best way. We've had some excellent discussions in WhatsApp, which has been really nice. So if you have any input into maybe how to, you know, jive and make this rough out sort of the ruffles over here, that would be great. But we learn in a b'risa, but don't we learn in a b'risa that Basil says that you can even work and read Kriyat Shema? So why are you saying that you would have to stop in order to read Kriyat Shema? So lokasha abiperek rishon abiperek sheni. No, when Basil says that you can work and read Kriyat Shema, that is for the second parak. But for the first parak, you would have to stop, which also implies that, I guess, for the entire first parak, you'd have to have kavana. You know, we had a whole slew of opinions about how much you have to have kavana for, whether it's the first pasuk, first parak, first few psukim, whole thing, whatever. So over here, we're saying the first parak. Fine. Tanar banana po'alim shayu osim milacha etzal balabayas. If you have workers that are doing milacha by a balabayas, fine. Koren Kriyat Shema muvarchin lefaneh ulacharya. So they read Kriyat Shema and they say the brachos of Kriyat Shema, no problem. Even though they're hourly workers, they're being paid by the hours. The ochlin piton muvarchin lefaneh ulacharya. They can eat their bread and make the brachas. You know, they make bracha rishona, bracha acharona, right? They do birkas hamazon. Mispalon tefilah shel shmona esrei. They can daven the entire shmona esrei. Aval en yordin lefaneh teva. But they don't be chazan. I wonder if what this means that they shouldn't daven with a minyan. Meaning, even though if there are 10 of them, they shouldn't daven with a minyan and do chazaras hashatz and do all these kind of longer things. Because otherwise, if they could daven with a minyan, what's an afkamina if he's the chazaras, if he's the shliach tzibur or somebody else's? The davening takes the same amount of time. Maybe he can even go faster because he's got to get back to work. I don't know. So maybe it means that they don't daven with a minyan. Ve'nosin kapem, they won't do birkat kohanim. If there are kohanim there, they won't duchen. One second, Vatani Mein Yurches. We have a different price that says that workers don't do the entire Shmona Esrei, they just do an abridged version of Shmona Esrei called Havineinu that we're going to learn about on Daf Chav Tes. So Rav Sheshes lo kasher. Rav Sheshes says it's no problem. Harav Gamliel, Harav Yoshua. No, the one we say that they daven Shmona Esrei, so a full Shmona Esrei, that's Rav Gamliel who says that we daven in general a full Shmona Esrei. But when we say that workers will daven in an abridged version, that's Rabbi Yoshua who says that we daven in an abridged version of Shmona Esrei. Now, one second, Rabbi Yoshua, my ear, your poalim, afilu kol adonami. But if it's Rabbi Yoshua, then why are we saying that specifically workers can daven the abridged version? Anybody can daven the abridged version. So either Rabbi Gamliel. No, so rather, they're both Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says that in general, regular people will daven or just in regular circumstances, you will daven the whole Shmona Esrei. But if you're a worker, you will daven the abridged version. Filokasha, kan ba'osim b'scharin, kan ba'osim b'sudasin. And oh, I'm sorry. So we have two conflicting brises, right? One says that workers will do the complete Shmona Esrei. The other brise says that the workers will do the abridged Shmona Esrei. And they're both Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. And Rabbi Gamliel says that it just depends what kind of worker they are. If they are a worker that's getting paid by the hour or by the day or whatever it is, but you know they're getting paid for their time, so therefore they need to maximize their work time and they will do a shorter Shmona Esrei. But if they're just getting, you know, they have a deal with the homeowner that basically these people do work and then they get a meal out of it. So then they can, you know, of course, so then part of the meal is that they could, you know, do, I guess that part of the arrangement is that, you know, it's less, you know, each minute is less valuable. You know, it's more like you do work, you get a meal, you know, you can daven Shmona Esrei, it's no problem. V'atanya. V'atanya and we have a brisa. So in general, V'atanya is a question. V'atanya, but we have a brisa that says the opposite. Every so often, though, V'atanya will be a support, and this is one of those examples. And I'd say like 8 out of 10 times that V'atanya is brought as a support, Rashi will point out and he'll say the word benichusa, that you read it just kind of regularly as opposed to as a question, which is what he says over here. So V'atanya, we have a brisa that says apalam shayu osim malach etzal balabayis. That workers who are doing malacha by a homeowner, korin Kriyat Shema umispalalin, they say Kriyat Shema, they say Shmona Esrei, v'ochlin pitan, and they eat bread. Ve'ein mevarach mefanel. They don't make a bracha beforehand. And Rashi, so there's different girsahs over here, but Rashi has the girsah that they don't make a bracha beforehand. And he says because brachas beforehand is only made rabbanan, and because they are paid workers, so they they are. By derabbanans, they're not going to do the derabbanans because they got to get back to work. During the benching, they do bench, but they only say two brachos, right? Now we generally say four brachos in benching, right? And then all sorts of all those harachamats and stuff that come after that. But we usually say four brachos in benching. Here they're only saying two. So now the fourth bracha in benching is only midrabanan. So just like they don't make the bracha rishonas, they're also not going to say the fourth bracha. And then what they do is they say the first bracha ketzad. Right, how is this? Bracha rishona kesikuna. They say the first bracha normally. Shnia poseach bebekas haaretz. The second bracha, they start regularly. No del chashem elkenu. V'cholin bone Yerushalayim. Right, and then they include in the second bracha the third bracha, which is bone Yerushalayim. And they have a letter over here that adds a very useful word, which says v'chosem bebekas haaretz. And then they conclude with bebekas haaretz. So basically, they say two brachas. The first bracha of benching regularly, and then they merge brachas two and three into one bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem al Haaretz v'al Mazon, and then they just completely skip the fourth bracha because that's only derabbanan. Now, b'medvar memurim, when do we say that they sort of have to, be careful about which brachas they say? Ba'osim b'scharim, that is when they're getting paid, by the hour or by the day, whatever it is. Aval osim b'sudasan, o shahaya balabais me'esev imayim, imayim mevarchin kisikuna. But if they were just working, and then, the reward is their meal, well, then they could bench. They can just make the brachas properly for the meal, or even I guess paid workers. If the balabais, who their employer is, sitting down with them and hanging out with them and cracking open beers and stuff. So in that case, you just go with the flow and whatever he's doing, you're entitled to do as well. Because the implication being that he's okay with it. Okay, chasam patam kriyashma. Going back now. Okay, these next few lines. Okay, on daf yud aleph, the whole chasin being patur from kriyashma on the first night was a little bit confusing, okay? We're about to literally repeat pretty much verbatim that entire thing, but hopefully, if you remember from a few days ago, hopefully it's still sharp in your mind, and we can just go through this pretty quick. So, fine. Tana Rabbanan, b'shivtecha b'veisecha, prat l'osik b'mitzvah, right? We said b'shivtecha b'veisecha says that somebody, to exclude somebody who's doing a mitzvah. That if somebody's doing a mitzvah, then he doesn't have to read Kriyat Shema. Now, I don't know if this is like the actual source for the concept of Osek min a mitzvah, Potom min a mitzvah, from like Kriyat Shema, where we say that excludes somebody who's doing a mitzvah. I'm not sure. But definitely over here by Kriyat Shema, if he's doing another mitzvah, let's say building a sukkah, so he doesn't have to read Kriyat Shema. But afterwards he probably would. Uvlecht chavaderech prat l'chassin, right? And uvlecht chavaderech, when you're going on your way to exclude a chassin that he's part of in Kriyat Shema on the first night of his wedding. Mikan amru akonis es abesula pater v'samana chayv. From here they said that somebody who's marrying a virgin is pater from reading Kriyat Shema. Somebody who's marrying an almana, a widow, is chayv to read Kriyat Shema. My mashma. Why do we say that b'shivtecha b'veisecha implies that, to the exclusion of somebody who is doing a mitzvah? So amru papa ki derech. So our papa says because we compare b'shivtecha to derech. Ma derech rishos, just like derech. When you go on away from on your own time. So afacha nami rusha. So also when you read Kriyat Shema, it's when you're on your own time, right? To the exclusion of when you're doing a mitzvah that you have a chiyuv to be doing that mitzvah. So below askin in the kazal of mitzvah vafilu hachi amar achmana lekre. But one second, isn't it possible that baderech means when you're on any way, right? Even if it's the going to do a mitzvah, you're still right in the Torah saying belechcha baderech. Whenever you're doing a mitzvah, you're still going to be chayv, right? So imkein lemakra beleches. So therefore, he says, no, if it was only to say, any path, even the path of a mitzvah, it would say beleches, which is interesting because we're not actually learning out prad lo'osek b'mitzvah from beleches, we're learning out from b'sheves. But anyways, if it would just be, b'sheves or beleches, so then we would say any kind of path, even a mitzvah. But now it says belechtecha b'derech. So it's when you're going out of your own decision on your own time. So that is when you're chayav to read Kriyat Shema. But if you are involved in a mitzvah, then you would be pater from reading Kriyat Shema. If so, that it's about going to do a mitzvah. So then why does it matter that right that he's marrying a besula? Even if he marries an almana, still a mitzvah. So hacha tarit hacha lo tarit. Says no, there's a difference. That the reason why he's pater when he's marrying a besula is because there's more tirda, right? Emotionally, it's more overwhelming. And therefore he can't focus, and therefore he's potter from reading Kriyat Shema. But by an Amana, it's less overwhelming, and he would be chayiv in reading Kriyat Shema. So if it's about, you know, being overwhelmed emotionally, so then what if his ship is sinking in the sea? Is he also part of Kriyat Shema? Alama Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav Avel Chayv Bucham Mitzvah Samoris B'Torah Chutz Menat Tefillin Sharei Ne'emar Ben Peir Shne'emar Peir Chavos Shalecha V'Gomer. Right? But one second, we know that in Avel is Chayv in all the mitzvahs of the Torah. He's not Chayv in mitzvah. In Tefillin, fine, Seder, it's an exception, but he's Chayv in everything else, including Kriyat Shema, and he's also overwhelmed emotionally and he can't focus. So clearly, you know, it's not just about being overwhelmed emotionally that would make him potter from reading Kriyat Shema. So Amrei Chasson Tirda Dershu Hashachat Tirda the Mitzvah. That by a Chasson, the Tirda, the overwhelming emotions are coming from a mitzvah, right? The mitzvah of getting married and being with his wife. So that is where that Tirda comes from. But when your ship is sinking, you know, or even when somebody passes away, it's not a Tirda of a mitzvah. Therefore, you'd be chayv to read Kriyat Shema. Fine. Vayter. Now, before we start this Mishnah, I just want to explain two concepts that have to do with when somebody passes away. There's something called an onen. And you are an onen from the time that a relative passes away until that relative is buried. Between that time, you're called an onen, and you're pater from all mitzvahs in the Torah. Okay. Now, you are an onen for one day, right? Right. So you are, as the pasuk says, we're going to see vachrisa ki yomar, that like a bitter day. So you're an onen for one day. Now, or until the burial, or until the burial. So, and after the burial, you're what's considered an avel. Okay, and an avel, an avel is chayiv, as we just saw, an avel is chayiv in all the mitzvos in the Torah, etc. So those are that's the difference between an onen and an avel. Okay, now says the Mishnah, rachatz laila harishon shemesa ishto. So now Rabbi Gamliel. So we were talking about how Rabbi Gamliel said Kriyat Shema on the first night of his wedding. So we're continuing to talk about some interesting things that Rabbi Gamliel did. Right. So also he when his wife died. Okay. He took a shower that night. So now Rashi says, "V'nikbura bo bayom," and she was buried that day, which means that it did, right. It's the top Rashi on the page, right? V'afal pisha avel aser berchitza hu rachatz kedah amar taima istinasani v'uadam meunag mufunag. Right. So and even though an avel is not allowed to shower, is not allowed to bathe, he bathed because he was an istinus. He was very particular. He was very, you know, clean cleanliness and things like that. So he had to shower. Fine. So we said that his wife was already buried, therefore he was an avel, and he showered anyways, right? So Amru lo tamid, of his student, said to him, "D'matenu Rabbeinu, but you taught us she'avel aser lechotz, that an avel, which is you right now, is not allowed to bathe." So Amru lo, "Eini kishar b'nei adam istinus ani," but I'm different than everybody else. I'm an istinus. I'm very particular. I need to be clean. I have to shower. Interesting. What does that mean? Just because he has to shower, he can do whatever he wants? We'll see. Ushamez Tevi Avdo, and when Tevi, his servant, now Tevi was not a Jewish slave, he was a non-Jewish slave, okay, he's an Evid Kanani. So, and when Tevi died, Kibel Alav Tanchumim, he accepted condolences for his servant Tevi. Amrilo Tamid, of his student, said to him, "L'matenu Rabbeinu, but you taught us, she'emekab Tanchumim Alav Adam, that you don't receive condolences for servants, for slaves who died." So, Amalem Ein Tevi Avdi Kshar Kol Ha'avadim Kashar Haya. My servant Tevi is not like other. Non-Jewish slaves. He was a kosher. Okay. Therefore, for that reason, he was allowed to accept. He accepted condolences. Fine. Chasin emrotzeh lekros Kriyat Shema laila rishon kore. So now we say, look, a chasin who wants to read Kriyat Shema on the first night of his wedding, he's allowed to. Look, we say he doesn't have to. He's potter, but he's allowed to. Shimon Gamliel omer lo kol arotzeh li tolas hashem yito. And Shimon Gamliel says, no. If we say that you're potter from reading Kriyat Shema, you're potter. We're not just saying it for no reason. We're saying you're potter because you can't focus, right? And if you can't focus, so then you can't just say God's name out of focus. So therefore, he's not allowed to read Kriyat Shema on the first night of his wedding. Now, here comes the Gemara. Now, this Gemara is confusing. Why is this Gemara confusing? Because we explained the Mishnah that it's talking about where he had already buried his wife and he was in Avel. But the Gemara seems to be assuming that he was in Onen, that his wife was not yet buried yet. So honestly, I don't really know how to answer the two, other than to say that for some reason the Mishnah was assuming he was an Avel, and the Gemara is assuming that he wasn't an Avel, he was an Onen. I don't know. It's weird. Maybe there's like different Girsaos or something, but I don't know. Anyway, so my time at Rabbi Gamliel, how come Rabbi Gamliel bathed. What, you're just allowed to say I'm an istinist, so I can do whatever I want, I'm particular. Nowadays, we're probably all particular. I assume that many people shower very often, every day, or whatever it is. So we're all istinists. Can we all just do whatever we want and just bathe when we're in avil because we're an istinist? So, kasavar, because I'm held aninus laila drabanon. Okay, so remember, in the Mishnah, we were assuming that he was in avil. Now, for some reason, we're assuming that he was in onen. I don't know why, but we're assuming that he's in onen. And now, in onen, right? So if his wife wasn't yet buried yet, and I guess in the Gemara we're assuming that she wasn't yet buried, and she died that day, and it was the night following. So now, in onen is going to be in onen for 24 hours, for a day. So he assumed that when we say that you're only in onen for a day, it's only during the day. The following night already, at night, you're already not in onen midor oraisa midor abanan. It's only midrabban, right? Right, that the day afterward is going to be like, basically we're saying all sorts of, it says in the Navi, in Amos, that all sorts of negative, bad things are going to happen. It's going to be like you lost your first child, your only child, and it says, and it'll be like that bitter day. And we learned this out to be a reference to aninus, to when you're in onen, and it's kiyom mar, for one day. So we said that really it's during the day, but the following night, it's really only going to be midrabanan that you have the halachos of the status of onen. Uvmakom istinis logazu berabanan, and for an istinis, somebody who's very particular about showering and hygiene, the chacham said, you know, you don't have to worry about aninus, and you would be able to shower. And therefore, Rabbi Gamliel assumed, look, you know, I'm an istinis, I'm allowed to shower. Okay, again, very strange. If anybody has any ideas why the Mishnah would be assuming that he was in Avil and that his wife was already buried, and in the Gemara we're assuming that he was in Onen, and I guess that she wasn't yet buried, maybe, again, WhatsApp group would be a really sweet place for that. I would love to hear your thoughts. Weiter. When Tevi, his non-Jewish slave, died, so he accepted condolences for him. Now, what? Just a word about different slaves. So there is an Eved Ivri and an Ama Ivriya, and there is an Eved Kanani and a Shifcha Kananis. So there are basically non-Jewish slaves and maidservants, and there are Jewish slaves and maidservants. So Jewish slaves and maidservants are just regular Jews who, for whatever reason, they had to sell themselves into slavery. And, you know, we even say somebody who purchases a Jewish slave, he basically purchased an owner for himself, because there are so many ways that he has to, you know, treat him very particularly. Anyways, now a non-Jewish slave, they, while they are a slave, they actually have their chayv and mitzvahs to the same degree that a woman is chayv and mitzvahs. Any mitzvah that a woman would be chayv in, an Eved Kanani and a Shifcha Kananis, they are chayv in as well. Now, when they go free, they actually become 100% Jewish, which is very interesting. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, Avadim Shvachos Ein Omdin Aleim Bashura. So, Avadim Kananim and Shifcha Kananios, we don't stand in the line for them after they die. Meaning, you know, if people have been to a religious funeral, basically, you would, after we bury the person, we then go out to the road and we create two lines, and the mourners pass between that line. So for Eved Kanani and Shifcha Kananis, we don't do that for them. Right? In the Gemara in Ksubis, it describes a bracha of Avelim, a certain blessing that they would make for Avelim, and Tanchumi Avelim, and condolences of mourners. So we don't do that for them. There was a story where the maidservant, the non-Jewish maidservant of Rabbi Eliezer, died. And his students came in order to give him condolences. Now, of course, we don't give condolences for a Shifcha Kananis. So came and Shara Osam Adal Aliyah. Right? So since he saw them, he said, oh, they're coming to give me condolences. This is no good. So he went up to his attic. Ba'alu Acharab. And they followed him to his attic. Nichnas La'am Pilon. So he went into some little small house that he had on his property. Nichnasu Acharab. They followed him into his small house. Nichnas La'traklin. So he then went to avoid them. So he went into the bigger house. Nichnasu Acharab. And they went after him. So Amr Lem, he said, people, Kamduma Ani, Shatim Nichvim Befoshim. I thought that, you know, I would be able to just kind of, you know, that you guys would get the hint and get burnt with just kind of lukewarm water, you know, like, i.e., I would avoid you, and you guys would realize, like, oh, we probably shouldn't be giving condolences. You guys aren't even getting burnt with, like, scalding hot water. Like, you guys are just not getting the point. Didn't I teach you, Avad Mushvachos Ein Omdin Alein Beshura, that for Eved and Shifcha Kananios, we don't stand for them in this line of mourning, that we don't say the blessing of Avelim nor the condolences of mourners, What do we say when an Eved Kanani or Shifcha Kananis dies? Kishem she'omin lo, la'adam ashor v'chamor shemesu. Right? The same thing that we say that when a person's ox or his donkey dies, his property dies, you know, he loses his property. Right? That God should refill your current state of lacking. That God should replace for you that which you're lacking. That's it, people. So don't come here to console me. Fine. Tanya Idach, we have another verse that says Avadu Mishvachos in Maspidin Osan, that Avadim Kanan and Shivchos Kananios, we don't eulogize them. Rabbi Yossi Amar says Rabbi Yossi, im Eved Kasherhu, if he was a good man, if the servant was a good man, Om Malav, we say about him, have a hoy, whoa, like, you know, oy vey, ish tov, he was a good man, v'neman, trustworthy, v'nene miyagido, miyagio, and he enjoyed his work. Om Amulo, they said to him, imkein, ma'anach delich sheim. Wow, what more can you ask for any person, right? Right, a good person, trustworthy, you know, believed in his work, you know, that would be good for anybody. Okay, Tanar Banan. Ein Korin Avos El Lishlosha. Oh, right. When we think about our Avos, who is that? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? There's only three Avos. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, all those Chevra, they are not considered Avos. There's only three Avos. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Ein Korin Imaos El Arba, right? There's only four Imaos, right? Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, and that's it. Avos, my Taima. How come there are only three Avos? Why aren't the 12 Shvatim included. So, because maybe simply we just don't know, you know, I don't know if Reuven's my father, maybe my father's Shimon or Levi, you know, so we don't know. So, you know, but I know that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are my ancestors, right? So, but also the mothers, right? I don't know if I came from Rachel or Leah, maybe even I came from Bilhah or Zilpah, I don't know. So therefore, you know, if we're going to say that it's only the three fathers because we don't know which of the Shvatim we came from, but we also don't know if we came from Rachel or Leah. And yet they are included in the four Imaos, the four mothers. Elakan Chashive Tfelel Chashive. No, rather, you know, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were Chashuv, right? Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, they were Chashuvos, right? But once already you get to the Shtemis, say, you know, the 12 Shvatim, it becomes a little shade, right? Murkier, you know, after all, you have, they tried to kill Yosef, you have the story with Yehuda and Tamar, things already get more complicated over there. Okay, so Tanya Idach, we have another bris that says Avad Mishvachos and Korin Osam Abba Ploni V'Ima Ploni. So just like we would call somebody, you know, Mr. So and So, Doctor So and So, you know, whatever. So at one point in time, the equivalent would be Abba Ploni, Ima Plonis. So you don't do that for Avadim and Shvachos. V'Shar Megamlil Hayu Korim Osam Abba Ploni V'Ima Plonis. Right. But by Rabbi Gamliel, their his servants, they would call Abba Plonis and Ima Plonis. Maiselisto, one second, you just contradicted yourself. One second, you said that we don't do that, and then you said that by Rabbi Gamliel, they would call them Abba Plonis, Ima Plonis, so Mishum Dechshiva. That's because that by Rabbi Gamliel, they were very Chashiva mentioned. Okay, weiter. Amr Blazer, Dr. Blazer, Mai Dechsev, Kena Varechecha Bechayai, right, Vishimcha Esa Kapai, so I will bless you in my life, and in your name, I will lift up my hands in prayer. So Kena Varechecha Bechayai, Zo Kriyashma, right? When it says that, so I will bless you in my life, that is a reference to Kriyashma. B'shimcha esakapai, and into your name, I will lift up my hands in prayer. Zo Tefila, that's a reference to Shmona Esrei. V'im osa kein, olav akasuv omer, kmo chele v'deshen tisba nafshi. Right, the very next pasuk there in Tehillim, it says that just like fat and oils, you satisfy my soul. Right, isn't that very nice? So if you basically say Kriyashma and follow that with tefillah, so then it'll be very, very awesome, like great oils and fats and stuff. Oh, not only that, El Shnocho Shnei Olamim, Olam Hazav, Olam Haba. Not only that, but you get two worlds, the current state of the world as well as Olam Haba, which is like time of Mashiach. Shneimar v'sifsei renonos yalopi, and my mouth will praise with my lips of joy. Now, Rinanos is plural, referring to both Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, which is pretty cool. So again, we see the significance of Kriyashma and Tefillah, right? Of course, we've already seen who's a Ben Olam Haba, somebody who's so mechulah the Tefillah. Here is another place where we're saying Tefillah, right? Kriyashma and Tefillah, you will nochel Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Okay, fine. Very nice. Rabbi Lazar, Basar the Masayim Tzlosei, Amar Hachi. Rabbi Lazar, after we finish praying, he would say the following. Yiratzum Ufanach Hashem Elokeinu, may be the will before you, Hashem, our God, She Tashken Befureinu, Ava V'achlo V'shalom V'reus, so that you should put in our lots love and brotherhood and peace and companionship. Very, very beautiful. V'tar B'gvuleinu V'tamidim, and we should have lots of students. V'tatzliach Sofeinu Achrus V'tikva, and we should, have success. We should succeed in our future, right? And that everything that we hoped for, we should realize. V'tasim Chakinim B'gan Eden, and we should place our portion in Gan Eden. I guess that's paradise or whatever. V'taknenu b'chaver tov, and you should fix us with a good friend. V'yetzer tov, and good inclination. V'olamcha, in your world. V'nashkem v'nimtso yichul v'avenu l'yira shemecha, and we should wake up early, and we should have a desire to fear your name. V'tova l'fenecha koras nafshenu l'tova, and our emotional state should be really good. Rabbi Yochanan Basar D'Masayim Tzlosei Amar Hachi. Rabbi Yochanan, when he would finish his prayers, he would say the following: Yiratzum Ufanecha Hashem Elokeinu Shetatzitz Bivoshtenu, that you should see our embarrassment, V'tabid B'raosenu, and you should see in the bad things, in our bad predicament, V'tislavish B'rachamecha, you should wrap yourself in mercy, V'tiskase B'oscha, and you should cover yourself in your strength, V'tisate B'chasiduscha, and you should to wrap yourself in your kindness, V'tisazer B'chaninuscha, and you should gird yourself in your favor. And before you should come your characteristics of good and humility. That we shouldn't sin. We shouldn't be embarrassed. We shouldn't be ashamed from our fathers. Maybe it's because our fathers were so great. Although I have a note over here in the Masoreh Hashas that says, Yoser me'avosenu, we shouldn't be more embarrassed than our fathers have been embarrassed. But okay, fine. Rabbi Chiya Basar D'Matzli Amar Hachi, Yiratzum Ufanecha Hashem Elokeinu Shetei Torascha U'Munaseinu, that your Torah should be our professions, our livelihood. Vayad ve'libeinu, and our hearts should not become morose. V'yachshechu Einenu, and that our eyes should not become black. Wow. Okay. Rav Basar Tzlosei Amar Hachi. Rav, after we finish praying, he would say the following, and this might sound very, very familiar, right? Who could tell me where this comes from? Yiratzum Ufanecha Hashem Elokeinu Shetiten Lanu Chaim Aruchim, right? You should give us long life, Chaim Shel Shalom, life of peace, Chaim Shel Tova, Chaim, life of goodness, Chaim Shel Bracha, life of blessing, Chaim Shel Parnasa, Chaim, right? Life of making a living, Chaim Shel Chilut Atzamos, life of health, Chaim Sheish Bem Yerush Chaim Yerush Chait. Life that has fear of sin, Chaim Shein Bushu Chlima, life that doesn't have any embarrassment, Chaim Shel Oshev Chavod, life of wealth and honor, Chaim Shein Banu Avos Torah V'Yashamayim, life that has love of Torah and fear of God, Chaim Shein Tamalu Lanu Es Kol Mishal Subin Tova, life that you should fulfill us with all of our the requests of our heart for good. That of course comes from when we bench Rosh Chodesh, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh. Rebbe Basar Tzlosei Amar Hachi, Yiratzum Lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu, Shetatzileni Me'azifanim, you should save us from those who are brazen, Me'azifanim, and from their brazenness, Me'adamra, from a bad person, Me'pegara, from a bad interaction, Me'etzera, from the bad inclination, Me'chavira, from a bad friend, Me'shachinra, from a bad neighbor, Me'satan Amashchis, from the Satan who destroys, Me'din Kasheh, from a difficult judgment, Me'badin Kasheh, and from a difficult litigant, so Rashi says whether he has a bris mila, whether he doesn't have a bris mila. I don't know why whether he has a bris mila or not should matter, or unless it means whether he's Jewish or not. I'm not exactly sure. And even though there were guards standing outside of the bezdin, outside of the court of Rebbe. Now Rashi says from Antoninus, Antoninus would place guards there, and there's a Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah that it has some very, very interesting stories there about the relationship between Antoninus and Rebbe. Really, really interesting. We'll get there, people. We'll get there. Don't worry. We'll get there. Anyways, Shkoyach, everybody. It was a long day today. I think it was good. I think we have a few questions there about Kriya Shema, about Antoninus. If anybody has any ideas, please, please, would love to hear about it, in the WhatsApp group or wherever you'd like. Peace out, friends. Cheers.